Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Saturday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Euro Daily podcast with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. And where else can we start? But of course, with the game at Wembley last night, where it all ended boringly with a draw between England and Scotland. Still, pretty big result for the Scots. We'll hear what TalkSport's Euro pundit Jose Mourinho made of the game. Both managers, Gareth Southgate and Steve Clarke, spoke to us after the dust settled. And me and the fun boy, Jason Cundy, took your calls on a busy night of Euro sports bar action straight after the final whistle.
It's a big, big point for Scotland. It's a night of immense frustration for England. One shot on target. They simply didn't do themselves justice. A very disappointing performance that will be dissected at length. It's the Scots that celebrate.
Harry Kane's not been in either game, actually.
For me, it would rather be higher up and be fed all day long and, you know, in and around the goal, peppering the goal and getting his goals on.
In the past, we've struggled when teams have sat back and said, what you're going to do, and deny us the space in behind. And this was another one of those nights, Sol, where the opposition said, look, we're sitting in a 5-3-2, you have it in front of us. We turned them round on the odd occasion with a give and go, but not often enough.
In these type of games, you've got to impose yourselves and make something happen. If it's not your night, make it your night. When you look at Scotland, they defended well, they set up stalled, they had a really good game plan about them, they had a couple of chances. And, you know, they could be proud of themselves. You know, Scotland really turned up and played really well.
Gareth, how frustrating was that as a performance?
Well, it was a very difficult game. I think we know that we need to perform better. We also know that Scotland, both with the ball, played well and defended really resiliently, made it very difficult for us. So, in the end, it's the sort of game that you can push and lose discipline and end up losing the game. And in a tournament, although the desire is to win the game because of who the opposition is as well, and it, you know, it means there's an even bigger reaction externally by not winning, we had to hold our nerve and make sure that minimum you take a point. We're on 4 points, and in terms of qualification, that's important.
How prepared are the team for that? Because there's been a lot of positivity around them in this tournament so far, but already I've seen on social media all the criticism and the pile on happening about that performance.
Yeah, look, I understand that as the manager, and that should be directed at me. You know, it's up to me to get the results. The players, we've got to get behind. You know, everybody's got to get behind them. There are a lot of young players there. They're still in a good position to qualify in this tournament. So we understand this is a game that means so much to everybody, and when you don't win it, the reaction's going to be even bigger. Derby matches are always like that. But direct that at me. Let's get behind the team. We'll make sure that we get them ready for the next game, and we know we've got to improve that performance.
Five attacking from the edge of the penalty area. Foden makes a darting run from outside the six-yard box, trying to create space. It's hit the post. The ball flashed inside the penalty area, and it just came back off the right-hand post. Scotland survive.
Millimetres again, though. It's those kind of small margins that make the difference. We all know that.
Yeah, of course. And if you score early, the whole game changes. But look, equally, our goalkeeper made some good saves. And, you know, we weren't completely watertight at the back. I think our two centre-backs actually did well. It was a different sort of a challenge for them, and they stood up to that. They've got a clean sheet, and that clean sheet is really important for us tonight.
John McGinn gets his foot to it, sends it clear, and there is the full-time whistle. Scotland have taken a point from England at Wembley. A heroic performance from Steve Clarke's boys. The knockout dream is still alive.
Absolutely, to a man, magnificent. One of the best Scotland performances I've seen for years. The quality in there, the individual performances, the team spirit, but that willingness not to get beat today.
Congratulations, Steve. I mean, you must be delighted with that performance. Your captain, though, said it should have been a win.
We had chances to win it. England had one or two chances as well, to be fair. Listen, we came here to give ourselves a chance to qualify out the group. To do that, we had to get a point or 3 points. So we've managed to get a point. It gives us a chance going into the last game at Hampden against Croatia to qualify out the group, which would be a historic moment for the Scottish men's national team.
Does this feel like a historic moment, getting a point against England, goalless at Wembley? The Tartan Army certainly felt like it.
No, it was nice. It was nice to be here. It was nice to be in a stadium with a crowd in. It would have been better with a full house, but the Tartan Army were noisy enough. We deserved a little bit more out of the last game we played. We got unfairly criticised for that. I think it was a little bit over the top. But this team's been improving for the last 18 months, and they're still improving, and they're going to get better and better.
Did that give you a little bit of fire in the belly, the criticism that you received?
You don't need fire in the belly when it's Scotland, England, it's there anyway.
Jose, it's great to have you back as well. You sensed when you talked to us beforehand about Steve Clarke. I'm going to talk about Scotland first of all, and his team did him proud tonight.
I think they were amazing. Tierney, Gilmour and Adams, they didn't play the last match. They made the difference. Mm-hmm. I believe that the fact that they play again with five in the back, but Scott McTominay is a midfield player. He can build. Tierney is a left back. He can build. Henley is, in my opinion, much more comfortable playing in the middle than on the right. So the back three was solid, but at the same time, they had more possession. They were more fluid with the ball. The kid Gilmour in midfield, he made the difference. He was fantastic. He was always moving. He was always showing himself. He wanted the ball. He was turning under pressure. He linked the game much, much better. McGinn was in a position where he could be a little bit higher. And the two strikers, they work like absolutely incredible.
Then it goes to the edge of the box for Reece James. A chance for England, and Reece James has blazed it from the edge of the box. They waited for their moment. They found it, and James couldn't take advantage.
I feel that the intention of Garrett was correct in the sense of a left-footed, pure left-footed left back like Luke Shaw and an offensive player like James. The intention was, I want them really to go. But in reality, I just remember James reaching the edge of the box and hitting a shot when Harry Kane made him a nice pass from the left. I remember just Luke Shaw trying to score with outside left foot, also inside of the box. But I didn't see any cross from them. I didn't see any progression. I didn't see any overlapping. I think they were fine. They didn't make any defensive mistake. They were cautious. They were positional. But they should give a little bit more. And what was so good against Croatia, the double pivot, if you want to call that way, Rice and Phillips, tonight, in, I would say, if England need to win this match, I think Phillips would be out like minute 60, 65, and then England would go with a little bit more creativity.
Yeah.
But again, I think was the pragmatism of the result was, let's say, the fear of losing it that kept them on the pitch, kept the clean sheet, mm-hmm. like Mings was saying was good for them. And in the end, if they don't read press tomorrow and they focus on we have 4 points, we are qualified, we are going to beat Czech Republic, probably was not as bad as our feelings are.
It's coming home. It's coming.
Football's coming home.
It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming.
Football's coming home.
In 90 minutes, had one shot on target. Scotland had two. England had nine shots in total. Scotland had 11. Let that sink in. Just remind everyone what I said to you when we needed to make substitutions. Firstly, about Jack Grealish. I said at half-time, I said he won't come on second half to begin with. And he didn't. We had to wait to the 63rd minute. I also said to you when Jack Grealish comes on, he won't take Raheem Sterling off, who was appalling. Everyone was appalling. I'm not going to pick on Raheem Sterling. But didn't play well. And he left him on. Took Phil Foden off. Again, another poor decision. We don't have anything more than a plan A at best. I just, there's so many people have told me we're going to do well, we're going to win it, we're going to get into the latter stage.
We might, we still might.
No, come on. This is England against the third worst team in the competition, and we couldn't break them down. And I don't buy the fact that they had so many players behind. Yes, they did. Other teams do that. We're meant to be better than this. We just didn't have a game plan.
Scotland deserve all the credit because they came with a game plan, as I said, and their game plan was to stop us getting in behind, was to stop us with the pace of the likes of Rashford and trying to get Foden and Mount to get in beyond, and they nullified that. There was a couple of times Sterling got in, the balls from Mount in the first half, two I can remember in the whole 90 minutes. I can't deny we were disappointing. It's not what I wanted to see. We seem to run out of ideas quite quickly. And you can see the way that the back line were passing the ball backwards, sideways, forward half a yard, backwards, sideways, that we don't really know how to break them down. There was a lack of know-how to break teams down.
Let's speak to Auburn, who joins us now. Hello, Auburn.
Kundi, what's your note on that game?
I've lost them.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. My note is Southgate goes tonight.
Well, you know that won't happen, Alban, don't you?
It's a ridiculous thing to say, Alban.
It's a ridiculous thing to say, but why is he even at this tournament? You've defended him after the first game. I listen to you all the time. You've defended him after the first game. They've scraped through a 1-0 win against Croatia. But tonight, he has been conservative. He would avoid anything other than getting beat tonight.
I mean, there's no point phoning up saying sack him. It's not going to happen.
I just think a certain amount of fans have false potential of how good England actually are.
They seem really happy sort of with these couple of clean sheets, but I think there's ways of getting clean sheets. And I think the way we're doing it is just by playing very negative, sideways, back-passing football.
Oh, dear. Where do I start?
Scotland, they are the third worst side in the competition. And quite honestly, how many of them players would get in the top 12 teams in the Premiership? Got Robertson one, none of the rest are no good.
Delighted with the score. We played pretty steady without being too scary, I don't think, for England, if I'm being real about it. I thought we had our chances.
A draw wasn't the worst result in the world.
I'm a Sunderland fan, but Graham Jones has turned Newcastle around, so maybe put him in charge.
Now, believe it or not, there were other matches at the Euros on Friday. Sweden meets Slovakia 1-0, and in England's group, Croatia and the Czech Republic drew 1-1. Both of those games, obviously, were live on the TalkSport network. Now, away from the Euros, Spurs have ruled out another possible manager, as Gattuso won't be taking over in North London. Crystal Palace winger Andros Townsend joined Natalie Sawyer and Perry Groves on the Euro Game Day Live, and he thinks they should just stick with Ryan Mason. Wow.
If you was going to get a top manager in, fair enough, with Ten Hag, Pochettino, Conte, but after Conte turned it down, it was clear nobody wanted the job. So if nobody wants a job, give it to a man, Ryan Mason, who dealt with everything well under the circumstances, dealt with all the ESL fallout, the Harry Kane fallout, fronted that on his own, ended the season well with Spurs, got him into Europe-ish. Mm-hmm. So I think he deserves a fair crack at it, and hopefully that Daniel Levy does look into that and then see if Ryan can get another go at it next season.
Andrew, is that really where Spurs have come to give it to Ryan Mason, a completely unproven manager at the top level?
But what had Arteta done before he went to Arsenal?
I agree with you, because okay, I thought we should have got Carlo Ancelotti.
But he was assistant.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you're Guardiola's assistant, right, I always say, really the number two, which you know, is you take a few training sessions, you don't make any big decisions, your balls, boobs and cones, and you're a player's mate. So at the time, I agree with you, I thought we should have got Ancelotti. Yeah. Spurs, by the way, they kick off their first pre-season game a month tomorrow.
But this is my point. Give it Mason, a guy who's proven towards the back end of the season he can handle things on and off the pitch. So why not give him a year, see what he can do, and then reassess, and hopefully those names you spoke about would be interested in taking the job. Because it's clearly, if you're going down to Gattuso, there's clearly nothing else out there.
Well, that's it for another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Euro Daily Podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcast from. There are, of course, more games coming up today, some biggies as well. At 2 p.m. live commentary on TalkSport, Hungary against France. Then I think the biggest one of the day at 5 p.m. also on TalkSport, sees Portugal take on Germany. And then at 8 p.m. still on TalkSport, Spain take on Poland. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Euro Daily Podcasts out first thing tomorrow morning. Yeah, 7 days a week, would you believe? Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.